The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, June the 12th. Tuesday, June the 15th. I'll read anything on the prompter, but I do know that's not June 12th because that would have meant because Friday was June 11th, my anniversary, and it was fantastic. Thanks for asking. Joining me to break down the latest minicamp news and notes around the league, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
I'm just humbled to be on a podcast with the Bill Belichick of Humble Brags, thanks to Will Brinson Fan Podcast Twitter page for naming him as such.
And I am not surprised that Brinson doesn't know his numbers. I bet when he got to his 10th anniversary with dinner with his wife on Friday, she's like, honey, it's our 8th anniversary. What are you doing here? So, Brinson, I hope you're getting better with numbers.
I actually, I meant to bring it up. So you see over my left shoulder here, it can get confusing because it flips. If you're watching on YouTube, and you can watch us do every podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Make sure and check it out. We have a great time on here. We goof around and sometimes we'll do a silly thing. Okay, we have an okay time, according to Ryan Wilson. You can see Ryan laughing about how he doesn't have a great time here. At any rate,
what's over your shoulder? What are you going to tell
us? It is the signed 18th flag from Baltusrol when Phil Mickelson won his very first major.
We need to give Debo a buzzer so every time you humble brag, he can just bang that thing.
Wait, is this like a buzzer where he makes a noise, or is this like something that Brinson wears that
both
electrocutes him?
Both.
Okay.
We're going to get him out of humble brags. 1 minute and 37 seconds into the show, we have our first Brinson humble brag. All right, go ahead.
My point is that my wife bought me for our anniversary, this package came and it looked like something that was framed. And I was like, oh my God, is this a picture of me and my son and my dog or something?
Why would you say it like that?
I was just like, oh, is this like one of those watercolor things? Or it's like, anyway.
It's a caricature. It's a character. Maybe it would have been a character with big ears.
That's right. Or maybe it's a cartoon of me or something like that. I open it up and it is not one of those. It is, in fact, a photo of Phil Mickelson winning this year's PGA Championship.
Wow.
With gold embossed scorecard showing the scores that he shot that week. And so I was really excited about that because it was a very thoughtful gift. And I went out and bought her gift. I was like, I gotta go shopping for some stuff. I'll be back a little bit.
This is after you got your gift, right?
Yeah, I already had the plans to go get it. I just been sick because I got vaccinated. And I was
sure.
So I went out and she was like, oh, like what all did you get? I was like, just got us some wine and some stuff for the trip. And so she was like, this SOB didn't get me anything. I thought he was going out to get me some stuff. And I hid the jewelry that I was giving her the whole way down. We get to dinner on Friday night. I like sneak it in because it's in like a box with a bow on it. I sneak it in. We get our drinks. And she's like, had made a couple snide comments like, oh, like I'm so thoughtful, the Phil thing. Like, I really put a lot of thought into this anniversary. It's number 10. And we get the first drinks. I'm like, cheers. I'm like, oh, and by the way, boom, got 'ems. And she was very excited. Got her a little, they do the stacking the wedding bands thing.
Mm-mm.
They add a band. So I thought, like a tree ring.
I was going to say, is it like, I've never heard that. That's a thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, 10 years is a pretty big one.
How does she know that you still didn't get it after she got you her present, though?
She's been married to Brinson for 10 years. I mean, that's how she knows.
Yeah. I think her assumption was that I screwed it up.
Hey, you still got
something. You didn't get me a card, did you? I was like, you didn't get me a card.
Where'd you guys go? Wilmington?
No, we went to, my in-laws were kind enough to take Robbie, and we went down to Pinehurst.
Ooh.
It was her idea, Pinehurst. In fact, I bought
it. Is that a resort for non-golfing people?
They have a really nice spa there.
Okay.
So we did a
Moore County, I believe.
Yeah, we did a we went down Friday, ate dinner, checked in at the hotel, hung out, got up in the morning, she went to the spa, I went and played a round of golf, got paired up with some random dudes, and then we jumped in the car and drove back to us to go to an engagement party for my buddy Jake, who just got engaged.
So, all right.
Anyway, so that's how my weekend went. How did you guys have a good weekend? It's Tuesday. I don't know why I'm asking about your weekend.
Yeah, I had a great weekend. Probably better than Breaches.
I mean, that's not possible. I hang out with a baby. That is true. You can't stop that.
This is a shorter podcast. We're going to run through some news and notes. But I will point out, since it is Tuesday, you need to be listening to the First Cut podcast. Why? Because it's the U.S. Open week. Speaking of Phil Mickelson, he'll try to win back-to-back majors. First time since, can you guess, Ryan?
He won back-to-back before?
No. Somebody's won back-to-back
majors. Oh, I don't know because I'm out of the golf loop.
But I bet you could guess. In fact, Ryan,
is it Tiger Woods?
Once live blogged the last time. We live blogged it on a Monday.
Oh, that was 2008, Torrey Pines.
Correct.
Rocco 88 versus Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods with no ACL. That's right. You know where the U.S. Open is this year?
That I don't. I was going to ask you. I don't know where it is.
You should guess.
Pebble Beach?
Torrey Pines?
It's at Torrey Pines. You get all the information. There's going to be a lot of cut. There's a discussion about how the rough's going to look, whether it's going to be like gradual, what it's going to be like. And if they're trying to get box out Bryson DeChambeau, if Brooks and Bryson be paired together and how they're going to deal all that. Tons of storylines. Phil, can you follow up? John Rahm, new
what
father.
I saw he was clear now because he was asymptomatic and tested negative twice. What are the odds that William Hill on Rocco Mediate winning this U.S. Open?
I don't think Rocco is technically retired, but
he must be in the senior tour.
He may be in the field though because he hadn't won a U.S. Open.
Yeah, I think the exemptions for second place expired.
Probably expired, exactly. So make sure to check out the First Cut podcast with Kyle Porter, Rick Gaiman, Mark Immelman, I guess Jonathan Coachman's on there too. A whole cast and crew of dudes. So check out the First Cut podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. They do a great job. Highly recommend it. Let's get to some football news. This is actually the premiere. This is the only Danielle Hunter podcast at CBS Sports. Maybe even the only Danielle
Hunter. We did one last week. We talked about Danielle.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Danielle Hunter, the Vikings. Nullified all that chatter we had about him last week because according to Rap Sheet of NFL Network, they have agreed to a rework deal. Hunter gets, quote, significant money moved up in his contract while Minnesota gets one of its stars to report. Rap Sheet calls it a solid conclusion for all sides in an ongoing saga.
Yeah,
Neil Hunter gets $5.6 million of this year's money moved up as a signing bonus. And now he has an $18 million roster bonus, the fifth day of the league year in 2022, at which point Minnesota will decide if they want to keep him or cut him. The only way they would cut him. And he'll either make $20 million or be a free agent. So that's a good ending for him versus the Vikings being like, bleep you, buddy, show up for work.
Well, I'll tell you, since you showed up late to the podcast, as you often do, I asked Breach specifically. I said, Breach, so how much
sitting in the waiting room and Diva wouldn't let me in.
I said to Breach, how much is Danielle Hunter making on this new deal? And Breach, what did you say?
It is not his contract, he was scheduled to make $12.15 million in base salary in 2021. 3.3 of that was fully guaranteed. And then you add on this 5.6 that he's now getting as a signing bonus up front. So that basically gives him about $9 million in guaranteed money for the year. And like, to me, this is a deal someone makes when they have zero leverage. Look, you know what? The Vikings said, this is the only offer we're going to give you. And Danielle Hunter probably said, all right, well, I don't really have a choice. The only upside for Danielle Hunter is that he can maybe get out of his contract. He's either going to get out of his contract or make $18 million in roster bonus money going into the 2022 season. So it's kind of a prove it deal. If you really think about it, it's saying, hey, look, you were injured all last season. You need to come out in 2021. If you prove you're still good, we'll pick up that option. If you're not, we'll let you walk because we're not going to pay someone $18 million if they're horrible. So the upside for Hunter is he's got an out. But as far as this year goes, this doesn't do anything except guarantee $5 million more that he was going to get anyway, because the Vikings weren't going to cut him, midway through the year.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would guess that there's also probably some salary cap relief for Minnesota, just because when you restructure those deals I guess maybe it's
the 5.6 is the relief, so they should get that because that will be pushed out right over the next 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, not that they necessarily needed it, but when you rework a deal like that, usually it's done. Usually you're saying like, hey, look, I want to, somebody's like, I want more money. Or usually the team's in salary cap trouble and they say, hey, would you like some cash now? We need to rework this deal to open up some salary cap space. This is a case of Danielle Hunter is, you know, probably looking at his salary, looking at his bank account and thinking, man, shouldn't have signed that deal. And they're like, all right, look, we'll just jam $5.6 million in your bank account now.
That's the answer. That's the answer.
They push it forward. So now Danielle Hunter is going to be back. I do think that's kind of big that he is. So in the roster bonus is big in the sense that it's an $18 million roster bonus. That's a lot of money. So if he is playing for a substantial amount of money this year, because if he plays really well, Minnesota picks it up, no brainer. If he doesn't play that, you know, or and if, you know, the only other option would be they don't pick it up and he becomes a free agent and he would get a big contract in free agency. So the win here for Minnesota is that you now have a highly motivated Danielle Hunter who also has cash. He's a happy and motivated guy, young player, ascending player, and you need a pass rush help. You got to have a good pass rush to, you know, to win that division.
Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, you're okay.
Well, but that was my other point too, is that if you're Minnesota and you're looking at Green Bay and thinking, we love this. Suddenly we could be the best team in this division pretty easily, where, you know, it's Jared Goff, Jordan Love, and Justin Fields slash Dandy Alton.
And that actually is worth the $5 million.
Exactly. And that's what you have to think. They were thinking, like, the last thing we need is disgruntled pass rush on our team when there could be three quarterbacks out there that this guy is going to eat alive. And the crazy thing about Danielle Hunter's deal is that I honestly think Chandler Jones's agent or the Cardinals should look at this and be like, all right, let's do the same thing with Chandler Jones and get him, you know, on a prove it deal because he missed so much time last year and give him an $18 million option so that he'll get in here and not skip mini camp or training camp or anything. But yeah, this is, I guess it's good for both sides.
Yeah, I think it's good for both sides. The Patriots are in the news in a lot of different ways because, one, Stephon Gilmore did not show up. He did not attend any workouts this past offseason. He is in the final year of his deal. He's owed $7 million. He turns 31 in September. And he was in the mix of a bunch of trade rumors last year leading up to the break. On a scale of 1 to 10, Wilson, how concerned are you if you're the Patriots about Stephon Gilmore's absence?
1.5. I mean, typically guys hold out and, you know, it wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would actually be less surprised than the 1.5 if the Patriots somehow traded Stephon Gilmore before the start of the season, because that's just what they do. We talked about it for weeks, months now. They spent the offseason stocking the roster on both sides of the ball. They drafted their quarterback. If Cam's healthy, that's great news. If not, hopefully Mac Jones can be the guy to come in as a rookie and have some success. So it's not a huge concern, and I don't think there's any way on God's green earth that Steph Gilmore's coming back after his contract expires next year should he stay in New England for the next 12 months. So I would imagine that they, you know, to paraphrase Bill Belichick, he's on to whoever's next up at that position. And, you know, we'll see. But I think they'll be fine with or without Steph Gilmore, fully acknowledging that he is probably one of the best players on this team. But they just find a way to sort of make up for guys who either are not happy with the way things are going or are on their way out the door for whatever reason. Obvious exception being Tom Brady in year one of him departing New England.
And you look at the Patriots, I don't think they're sweating this one either. Cause look, this guy is a former defensive player of the year. They've got him at a great price and they're probably saying, look, he's coming off a partially torn quad. Just let him stay at home and rehab. If that's what makes him feel better, we don't care. We're going to get $93,000 from him. Unless he has a good excuse, then maybe we'll not find him. But there's, you know, if you're Stephon Gilmore, there's no reason to show up. It's not like you can practice. And this also makes a small statement saying, hey, maybe you guys can give me more money because I've been so good for the team. But like Ryan said, they've been rebuilding. And, you know, we heard all those trade rumors going into the draft. Maybe Stephon Gilmore gets traded during the draft. Maybe he's traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I don't think it would be too crazy if he were to get dealt somewhere before the start of the season.
We got J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones.
Juwan Williams, they drafted in the second round a couple years ago. He has yet to do anything. He's a big sort of
long. Jalen Mills is offseason.
By the way, Breach, do you know who the backup kicker is for the Patriots?
Good piece of trivia.
Yeah, I probably don't.
Roberto Aguayo. I like that.
Oh, I should have known that. Yeah, they cut the Ryan got the tattoos.
The depth chart.
Yeah, that's the only reason I knew.
Yeah, that's the only reason I knew too. I would say that it's kind of this. I don't know if it's a holdout. I guess it's a holdout, but it makes sense from Stephon Gilmore's perspective because you know that the Patriots aren't giving you more money. You know that the Patriots, if you throw a huge hissy fit, will move on from you because Bill Belichick is a ruthless savage. And there's no need for you to come in a system you already know with a defense that's pretty full of veterans, although as you can say the secondary has some newer guys and some younger guys. There's no reason for you in the final year of your contract to come in and get hurt in OTAs and, you know,
miss
the whole season. So I think the Patriots know that with Gilmore. I think Gilmore knows that the Patriots aren't giving me more money. And this is just a, look, don't find me because, you know, you don't want to find me or they'll get really mad. Like, both sides know what the score is, and he'll just show up and play, is my guess.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think, and that pertains to all old players who don't show up in May and June. No one cares.
Also in the news for the Patriots, Cam Newton, he injured his hand about a week and a half ago. We talked about that on the podcast, I think, with Sully, but has been taking the majority of the first team reps and looks on track to be the starter ahead of Mac Jones and, of course, Jared Stidham. Additionally, you can't talk about the Patriots without talking about the receivers. Jonnu Smith left practice with an injury, but I believe the buzz is that he'll be fine. And then Jakobi Meyers, according to reports from out of New England practice, looking like the number one wide receiver, the best wide receiver ahead of Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar.
You don't even mention Nikhil Harry anymore.
Nah, you really don't.
He might not even make the roster.
I mean, that one's going to go down. That's worse than the whatever the Eagles did at wide receiver. Because like the Patriots could have had DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and they went with Nikhil Harry.
Well, get ready. Hover your finger over the dunk button because I just saw a report that JJ Arcega-Whiteside is happier than he's ever been, and he's poised for a breakout season.
Oh, is he ready for? Is he in the best shape of his life too?
So I'm sure Debo already has brought the jersey, and he is raring to go.
Unnecessary JJ slander, huh?
I'm telling you, he said he's ready to go. So I have to take him at his word until he proves otherwise.
What do you think, Debo?
Nothing. That's
I think my silence speaks for itself. I mean, I think he's got 14 catches in 2 years. Like, what are we doing?
He's pacing himself.
Howie Rosen's out there bribing media members. Like, look, man, I'll give you $1,000 if you write a nice article about JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
He has double digit catches this year, and it's considered a success. It's a joke.
That's the thing. All right, 15 catches this season. Over under.
Over. I'll take over. Third year breakout wide receiver.
All right.
We'll you see. Said the same thing around this time last year, Brinson. You were high on JJ. Yeah.
There's nobody else on the roster.
Sounds about right.
Who has more?
I'll take whoever option B is. You don't even have to say anyone.
Right. Who has more catches, Joe Burrow or JJ? Joe Burrow.
I was going to say, who has more, DK Metcalf touchdowns or JJ receptions?
DK Metcalf touchdowns.
Literally the highlight of his career. I was at this game last year against the Ravens. Miles Sanders broke
an interference penalty or something.
He broke an 80-yard run. Miles Sanders fumbled it like the two, and JJ fell on it in the end zone. By far the highlight of his career.
Hey, counts as a touchdown.
That's pretty pathetic. Anywho, back to the Patriots. What floats your fancy the most there, Breach? Cam, Jakobi, Jonnu Smith.
Jakobi, get out of here.
Well, I think the fact that Cam really went should. Straight back in They're there.
Friggin' J-Jaw.
It sounds like Jared Stidham and Mac Jones didn't really impress very many people last week when Cam went out with this hand injury. So, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, maybe that worries you a little bit. But hey, you know, if Cam wins the starting job and Cam, we always say when we talk about Cam Newton, if he can go back to the form of 2015 Cam Newton or 2016 Cam Newton, maybe the Patriots can be good. Maybe they can make a Super Bowl run. But I don't think that's possible. I don't think there's a magic time machine that somebody's gonna be able to go back and pull out Cam Newton from those, you know, earlier years when he was fantastic. But if he does play just a little bit better than he did last season, you know, they won 7 games and we're dunking on Cam Newton talking about how bad he played. Now he actually has receivers, he has players around him. So I won't be surprised if he wins a starting job, especially if he's thrown right back into first team reps after injuring his hand.
Yeah, if he's, you know, if he was 50% of himself last year, if he's closer to 70% of himself this year, I think I love the plus 350 or whatever it was last week at William Hill for the Patriots to win the division. I think they're going to, it sounds weird to say, I think they're going to surprise some folks.
I think so too. But they're further under the radar than the Dolphins or the, and obviously the Bills.
I'm more, let me ask you this. Are you more concerned about the quarterback situation in New England or in Miami?
Miami by a lot.
Is it even close?
No.
Breach?
No.
Because with the Patriots, you at least have, okay, Cam, if Cam looks good as a passer this year, like he did before he got COVID last year, bonus. If not, run him a ton. And if it all sucks, bring him back.
Tua can't run. That's the other thing. So if you have just Cam versus Tua, at least you know that Cam can run the football. Tua can't run.
I am a little bit higher on Tua than I think the
I would like to know why.
We'll have to have a separate podcast for that.
You're just bailing on Tua after a few games.
Everyone is.
Exactly.
Like, there's no one left on the bandwagon. Brinson, you are by yourself. There's tumbleweeds going by down the bandwagon. There's no one.
If everyone is bailing on top 10 pick.
That's Brinson's cue.
Surrounded by decent talent.
Is he your new Philip Rivers?
Who's dealing with a major hip injury for his rookie season. I'll happily buy low on him. I'm not all in on Tua or anything. I have red flags about him for sure, but I mean, he's talented to just bail after like 8 games.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll see.
Okay. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Trevor Lawrence talk.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jaguars rookie was limited at camp.
More like Tua Lawrence.
Jeez Louise.
Just kidding.
Why are you dunking on Trevor?
Experienced tightness in his hamstring. Told reporters on Monday, it's feeling good. It's been about a week just trying to work it back to full capacity. It's a little frustrating just not being able to go full speed. I'm feeling good and just trying to not have any more setbacks. So taking it slow. Got some good reps today. Start getting more and more each day this week and just kind of work back into it. It's doing great. Try to work it back. This guy's a professional already. He said nothing at all, really, without going into it.
No, it's fine. It's not a big deal. He's not Tua Lawrence. That was just a joke at Tua's expense. I'm sure Tua and Trevor both will be fantastic. But again, hamstring tightness, not a huge concern. Just let him rest. Again, just like the old guys, let the young guys rest who your franchise depends on going forward for the next 15 years. I am still curious, though, about the bigger picture. I haven't seen any Tim Tebow reports. I'm curious about that. But also, how is this going to work with Urban Meyer, who's not accustomed to losing a lot of football games, who's accustomed to having complete control, and how all these pieces fit together and why Tim Tebow's there?
Well, one interesting thing you said, Ryan, about Trevor Lawrence was just let him rest. Hello, Jacksonville. If your starting quarterback who you just drafted the number one overall pick has a sore hamstring, just sit him out minicamp. It's okay. He's got training camp to figure things out. Or he can sit on the sideline and throw passes. Don't make his hamstring worse. All a hamstring needs is some love and tenderness from the trainer. That's it. Let him rest. You don't need to have him out there. Keep him out until July when training camp starts. I don't know what they're doing. That's what I would do if I ran the team. I don't run the team.
By the way, quickly, let me just Debo put in the –
Well, before you go there, I got one more thing I want to add on Trevor Lawrence too.
All right, go ahead.
Well, James Palmer of NFL Network is in Jacksonville at the Jaguars minicamp. I think Pete Prisco might actually be there too. So watch
Prisco is there.
Watch CBS Sports HQ if you want to see Pete and Apollo talking about Trevor Lawrence. Really impresses me. This kid's got the fire in his belly, and he's gonna be good.
What do you think Prisco said about Tim Tebow?
I was gonna say that.
Personally, I want him to die.
Interrupted me.
Well, but I was going to tell you that. Shaq Griffin said today, this is a quote for, via James Palmer of Trevor Lawrence. I feel like the main thing I've been seeing is he's very explosive. So when the ball is out, it's out. When you see him throwing, even if I'm out on the sideline, I'm watching him throwing to different receivers. It's just the rotations of the ball, the timing, the way he's putting it away from everybody. It's just insane to see that so early in a quarterback. You talk about coming into the league with such high hopes, and he's proving that. So hamstring concerning, but Trevor Lawrence, impressing veteran.
Were you the one that just made fun of me for saying that Jay Jaw was having a great minicamp? Or say that about everyone. This means
Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick.
It means nothing. I mean, Chris Hassel did a whole bit about it. Not learn the game, Brinson. Anyway, Prisco is in, was at Jacksonville training camp before Brinson interrupted me to tell us everything we already know. Waiting for the dunk music. And Debo put this in Slack. So here's what Prisco said on CBS Sports HQ in regards to Tebow at minicamp. He's the smallest tight end on the field by far. He looks like one of the kids who didn't grow in his seventh grade year and everybody else grew. That's what he looks like on the field. He did catch a pass, but he's got a lot of work to do. He's a project. He's a kid that's trying to transition to a new position. That's hard to do. It's even tougher when you're 33 years old. I don't expect him to make the team. I'd be shocked if he makes the team. Breach, where are your odds at on him making the team?
Whatever they are, I'm going to bet on them.
That's a smug Prisco if you're watching on YouTube.
You need to watch on YouTube because
the fire of YouTube just to see smug Pete Prisco in Jacksonville.
That's the same face he's going to make when Tebow does get cut. I told you guys, seventh graders can't play football.
Is that the face he's making as Chris Hassel's asking him, like, all right, Pete, tell us about Tim Tebow.
Well, okay, look, 70%. 65% Tebow makes the team, over under.
Well, here is what Urban Meyer said about Tim Tebow. Tim has done a decent job. We all know this is a new position for him. He's a great teammate. In the locker room, I can see everybody getting along. We have good chemistry on our team, but he's picked it up decently.
All right, 65% makes the final 53.
What are my odds? I need some betting odds. 5-1, 8-1, I'm taking it. Just whatever you have, I'm taking it.
3-1.
I'm betting that he makes the team.
I'll say no.
You don't think so?
All right. So we'll say yes, he makes the team is plus 300.
I'd say plus 180.
You just said 3-1.
Yeah, but I was doing the 65%, so I'm doing the math and we're just doing straight odds.
Okay, so plus 180, he makes the team, and then minus 150, he doesn't. I'll hammer him though.
I don't know why you bring him in and create all this nonsense. You know, he's not good. So you're bringing him in for one reason and to be a sort of coach on the field or whatever you want to call it. You're not bringing him into play. I think he makes it the roster.
Okay. I'll say no still. I just don't think it's just my take.
Prisco says no as well.
I'm trying to think. I mean, you can read the disgust in Pete's voice when you read this article that Brian DiArda put up. He's like, he did catch a pass. Just like this, like disgusted that he caught a bat. Like he did catch
it. He had no business catching it. No business. He's a bad tight end.
Did he say he had no business?
No, that's what he was thinking like as he said it.
Grow in his seventh grade year, and everybody else grew. That's what he looks like on the field.
You know, I just read these quotes, right?
I know. I'm just rereading. It's like just as absolutely. You would never hear any sports reporter say this about an athlete.
And I don't think
Prisco talk about Tim Tebow.
I think we have Prisco one on one with Tebow.
I think a lot of things about Tebow, but I don't think of him as being undersized. That's a weird.
That's not what I was thinking either, right?
Yeah. Who do you think would win an arm wrestling match between Tebow and Prisco?
Well, Tebow, I mean, Prisco's arms are 4 inches long, so he would have the leverage. So I'm going with Prisco.
4 inches. That's insanity.
All right. What else we got?
We also will talk about Le'Veon Bell. He's not coming back to the Chiefs ever because he hates Andy Reid. He wrote on Instagram. There's some post. I don't even know what the Instagram post was about, but he's like, I'll never play for Andy Reid again. I'll retire first. I think he said he basically thrashed Andy Reid on an Instagram post, which is weird because everybody loves playing with Andy Reid and he went to the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, like, it's one thing if you hate Adam Gase because he's not using you properly or whatever. Andy Reid's been a coach since the 90s, a head coach. How many people, Debo, did even Donovan McNabb or T.O. or anyone say they hated Andy Reid at any point?
I'm sure T.O. had his moments, but this is a first. Every, like, a player's coach to the T is how everyone describes Andy Reid. This was pretty surprising.
So he's had literally 4,000 people play for him at some point, including the, you know, training camp guys and stuff. And Le'Veon Bell is the one. So,
and that's the thing. Like, if the Andy Reid is one of the smartest offensive minds ever in football, and if he can't figure out how to get you on the field and get something out of you, then maybe it's time you retire. So it's kind of funny that he said he would rather retire than play for Andy Reid ever again. And I saw Le'Veon Bell's kind of been an adventure on social media. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, Ryan was making the rap videos down in South Beach, and he's on the, you know, jet skis, riding the waves. That's not just the crazy stuff he's doing. He's been liking some random tweets, and I think one of them said, Le'Veon Bell should have never left Pittsburgh. So it really sounds like this guy is coming to grips with some serious regret he's having, because, you know, that's what happens when you take a bunch of time off football at your position of running back and you try to return, try to play with a coach who has never successfully put anyone in a good position, Adam Gase. Then you switch to the smartest offensive mind in the NFL and he can't get anything out of you. So I think Le'Veon Bell's just having some serious regret right now.
So a couple things. Remember that year he held out, Steelers fans, myself included, like, oh, don't worry, he'll be back in week 10 or whenever that was and everything will be fine. And he continued to hold out. And they offered him a contract, and it was similar in money to what the Jets gave him, but less guaranteed money. Do you guys think that things would have turned out differently had he just accepted the Steelers deal and came back immediately the next year?
I was thinking the exact same thing, and I think the answer is absolutely yes, because he would have been really good for the Steelers. He was playing incredible football at the prime of his career behind a really good offensive line with great weapons on the outside and Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. He would have put up, he would have kept putting up monster seasons for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's just a... I mean, if the Steelers get rid of you as a wide receiver, Manny Sanders being the exception, and a running back, things are probably not going to work out too well for you in the future.
Oh, it's a good reminder not to draft James Conner in fantasy, potentially.
Yeah,
Ryan, I don't know. How would you feel about Le'Veon Bell going back to Pittsburgh?
Nah, hard pass. I mean, if you, again, you said it, if you can't have success in Andy Reid's offense, what chance do you have in the Steelers' offense where you downgraded every single position?
Oh, and my favorite part of the Le'Veon Bell thing is that Tyrann Mathieu weighed in and just dunked on Le'Veon Bell.
Tyrann Mathieu.
We haven't heard it in a while, so I wanted to get a couple in.
That's okay. You got to get him in. Whenever I say the name, you got to get. I'm not offended, Brinson. He said, he tweeted out, these fellas will blame everybody for their lack of success.
Hey, you win the Super Bowl, bro.
Directly at Le'Veon, throwing that out.
I would guess that Le'Veon Bell was probably not a fantastic teammate with the Chiefs just because he was constantly being benched for.
Well, I mean, if one of your ex-teammates is out there bashing you like that on Twitter, clearly they didn't care for you too much.
Is he still under contract in Kansas City?
So.
Oh, okay. So here's the real problem for Le'Veon Bell. Teams are kicking the tires on Todd Gurley and not Le'Veon Bell.
That
should be a
red flag.
A huge red flag to Le'Veon Bell that maybe he needs to do something differently.
I would agree with that completely, Ryan. That's a great call.
Because, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, okay, would Le'Veon Bell have success in New England right now? I don't know. Would he have success with the Rams? I don't know that either. So if you can't have success in Kansas City and then you trash the coach that everyone loves, I don't know what you're setting yourself up for besides a rap career and perhaps racing jet skis in South Beach.
That's a fantastic point. Very quickly, a couple of notes. Allen Robinson, the franchised wide receiver for the Bears, is expected to be in attendance for their offseason activities, which is very important because they badly need him there. If they don't have Allen Robinson, good luck, Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, because he's their best pass catcher. Jamison Crowder will not be cut. Some people thought he might be on his way out. Elijah Moore has been lighting things up every day at Jets offseason activities.
Better than Trevor Lawrence or less better?
No. It's like every day, this is the guy who is doing crazy stuff. He was a really productive player at Ole Miss. Perfect.
Yeah, he was really good.
And with Jamison Crowder, he had $10 million in non-guaranteed money, and the Jets wanted him to take a pay cut. And, you know, they were probably like, look, man, you're going to take a pay cut, or we're going to cut you. So we don't really care. You're just going to have to take this. So he didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I think that is correct. And finally, quarterback factory, the quarterback factory that is the Philadelphia Eagles, signed Nick Mullins. So that's exciting.
They cut Jamie Newman, undrafted free agent,
right? Rough stretch for Jamie Newman the last 18 months.
Yeah,
Nick Mullins outplays Jalen Hurts.
So Jamie Newman,
this podcast
transferred from Wake Forest to Georgia. Everyone wanted to see him play at Georgia. He opted out, so you know he had an average Senior Bowl, and then of course he didn't get drafted. So I was surprised that he got cut so early, but Nick Mullins, apparently they feel is better than he is. So here we are.
Here we are, Debo. Any thoughts, Debo, on your boy, your man's getting tossed to the curb?
Well, you just never know when you're going to need a third string quarterback to come in and lose you a game in week 17 and get you a better draft pick that you then trade back anyways behind your division.
I'm talking about Nick Mullins, not Jalen Hurts.
Oh!
High town hard!
Debo just punched his monitor. Got Brinson.
Debo's filing his resignation letter right now.
He's like, I cannot believe I let that.
I can't wait for Learn the Game to get started.
Oh, no. Am I on Learn the Game or is it a Pete Prisco joint?
No, Pete doesn't even want guests. It's just him talking, I think, for 45 minutes on a weekly basis.
Is this actually happening?
We can't get it to daily yet, but right now we're starting on once a week and maybe pushing it to 3 days a week.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
Have to wait and find out. I can see him wearing like an Ari Gold headset, you know, stomping around the office for 45 minutes, yelling.
There is a 0.00000% chance that Pete Prisco agreed to do a 3 day a week or even weekly podcast that starts in the off season.
Prisco would do once a month tops. He's doing it
just to complain about how much work got added to his plate because of a podcast.
He would do once a month tops.
Right now we're working on the logo. His head is just a very interesting shape to fit within that square. That podcast.
Use a Smuck Prisco picture. Done and done.
The only reason I think you might not be kidding is I do think that Prisco badly would like to have a podcast. He'd be like, your podcast is nothing. I have the best podcast. Like that wouldn't be surprising at all. All right, Ryan Wilson's got to go to soccer practice.
Yeah, you go.
Something. Who knows? So that's it for the show. Short show today. We will be back to cover more minicamp news and other things that are happening. It's obviously a little bit slower this time of year. It's getting to slow down even more. But we will keep turning along as a daily podcast. Make sure to check out, by the way, the mailbag or the, excuse me, Breach. Check out the
mailbag
in the podcast feed from Monday. Hope everyone has a great Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.